large, young.
You're in your mid-20s. If you're in your early 20s, you're still a kid.
Yeah, that's true. But not all of these kids were motivated by... not all of these kids were motivated by Trump's ideology. Like you said, Connor Betts was a declared liberal.
Elizabeth Warren supporter.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I am basically against, too. Let's see.
Let me give you
Why can't I think of his name right now? The El Paso kid.
Patrick Cuccius.
Yeah, Patrick Cuccius definitely was. I mean, you look at his Twitter feed, and it was like, it was his Twitter feed before this happened is just Trump this, Trump that, build the wall, the stupid manifesto he left, like, it is basically, it might as well be like a love letter to some of the rhetoric that Trump has put forth.
Let me get to that in a minute. Connor Betts does not fit into that mold. Okay, the Trump aspect.
Oh no,
I
100% agree.
The problem, and you mentioned guns. Okay,
did I?
Yes.
Why would we talk about guns while discussing this subject?
This is not a gun problem, but here's what I'm willing to concede. Connor Betts used a weapon that the chief of police in Dayton rightfully described as fundamentally problematic. And I agree with him 100%. This is a rifle with a dual barrel 100 round capacity magazine. This is something out of a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
And who was it? NBC had a little bit of coverage on this. And this is what they said. It was a weapon equipped for war. A semi-automatic with 100-round double drum magazines. Quote, an orchestra of metal and hellfire built by calloused hands, says a chest-thumping video ad for the AM-15 made by Anderson Manufacturing. Connor Betts used the high-powered 223 caliber firearm. That, by the way, is a battlefield weapon.
Yeah, that's a, like, we have insurgents running towards us and need to kill all of them in 30 seconds.
223 round is for battlefield use. To kill 9 people and wound 14 others in a 30-second spasm of violence in Dayton, Ohio. Because this is a spray and pray kind of weapon. One law enforcement official referred to it as a Tommy gun and said, we banned the Tommy gun for exactly this reason. And that's pretty much what
it
is.
It's pretty much, yeah, it's a 2019 Tommy gun.
There is no...
You know who used those? Al Capone.
There is no justifiable reason at all. Full stop, at all, period, under any circumstances, for an American civilian to possess a weapon like this. This thing should not exist in the first... I don't even know what the battlefield use of this thing would be.
Well, it's what I said. It's if, like, 100 people are coming towards you and you need to kill all of them at once.
When does that happen? We're not doing trench warfare anymore.
I was
going
to say, pretty much never.
Okay? If you listen to the show, you know I am pro-gun. I am pro-gun rights. You can have all the guns you want.
And if you listen to the show, you also know that I am not... I'm not one of those people, like, for example, one of the candidates... one of the candidates for the U.S. Senate out of Massachusetts is calling to completely repeal the Second Amendment.
Yeah, no.
I'm a call big fat no on
no,
that.
No, we're not taking that one down, guys.
I don't. Yeah, especially. I mean, it's a sheer matter of just you can't make half the country angry.
No,
but I do think that there is something to be said for. For limiting both its universality, and as you just said, for limiting certain weapons, and for basically outlawing certain weapons. I don't know if you've ever seen the video of and again, guns are a big part of America. They are, and especially given like. I'm not against hunting. I think hunting, for those who enjoy it, is whatever. It's a pastime. And people who are against hunting, it's like, do you fish? Oh, you fish? It's really not that big of a difference. But So like illegalizing guns entirely is insane. But that being said, I don't know if you've ever seen the, video that it says that like opens basically by being like, this is what an office shooting would look like if we use the guns from when they wrote the Second Amendment.
Right.
And it shows someone walking in with a late 18th century musket. And he shoots one person. And then it takes like a good minute and a half to reload the gun.
James Gatling had not yet invented his repeating firearm at the point that those laws were written. Here's the thing. You can see pictures of this thing online. It looks like something out of a James Bond movie. In fact, in I think it was Skyfall, somebody had a magazine that looked like this. There is no reason this belongs in civilian hands. Period. I am as pro-gun as they come. There is no reason this belongs in civilian hands. And if we wait around for Washington to do something about this, more people are going to die. What I'm wondering is how a company like Anderson Manufacturing, and I'm going to call them out on this, how a company like Anderson Manufacturing, knowing what's going on in this country, could offer this product for sale. And why any gun store, because the kid ordered it online and picked it up at his local gun store, why is any independent gun store in the United States of America selling this product? And don't tell me it's about your Second Amendment rights. And don't tell me it's about what's legal and what's not legal. At a certain level, personal responsibility comes into this.
Yes.
You want change. We can fix this. And I'm going to tell you how to fix this. It's pretty simple.
Derek saves the world.
If you own a gun, good, fine, glad, happy for you. If you own a gun, you probably deal with a gun store. And you probably go into that gun store a couple times a year. Hunting season, you got to grab some ammunition.
Yeah.
Or you got to pick up a cleaning kit. Or you need some parts. Whatever it is. You're probably on a first name basis with the person that runs that gun store. Because gun stores are pretty much sole proprietorships. Maybe they got a couple people working for them, but there's an owner there.
And like, if you own a gun store, yeah, you're pretty into what you do.
The next time you go into that gun store, I want you to ask that owner, would you sell this magazine? And if that gun store owner says yes, tell them that you'd like them to stop selling it or you're going to take your business elsewhere. This is something that gun owners can do. We all have a role to play in this. This is, once again, our fault, collectively. Partly for the people that we elect, partly because we let them get away with doing nothing, but partly because we rely on the government. When there are common sense, simple things we can do. If enough gun owners walk into a gun store and say, you stop selling high-capacity magazines or I'm taking my business elsewhere, guess what? That guy is not going to take the $100 you might get from a one-off high-capacity magazine sale or the few $100 or a couple $1,000 you'll get from selling this Anderson Manufacturing monstrosity at the expense of all of his regular business.
Well,
we can pressure gun store owners to say enough. Stop selling this product. And we should be pressuring these manufacturers directly.
Well, and keeping in mind, too, that if you are, like, if you do have a gun store that you go to, chances are a lot of the other, like, chances are you're the type of person that has a lot of friends who also use guns.
Yeah.
Who also are hunters or who also, are even like, I mean, I know plenty of people who have a small handgun that they keep in a safe, separate from the ammunition, just in case something goes bump in the night.
Those are the people who are going to get shot while they're trying to figure out the combination for the safe.
You don't know some of the people I know.
Nobody's that fast.
You'd be surprised. But that being said, though, neither here nor there. But suffice it to say that if you're someone who frequents a gun store, chances are a lot of your friends do as well. So by the gun owner, the gun store owner losing your business, they're basically potentially not like they're not just losing you; they're losing like it, maybe 5 to 10 clients. And that, I mean, when you, it's not like people are coming in buying guns. It's not like the grocery store; no one's buying a gun like they buy milk. You know, like you don't get it once a week. So they depend on big one-time purchases.
If you are a responsible gun owner you are appalled by this weapon. I've spoken to enough gun owners to know. They look at weapons like this and they're like, that's a joke. That's a toy. Nobody needs that.
Yeah, like that's like, it's like you said, it's like something out of like James Bond or yeah. like Halo or like.
I'm not asking you.
It's like otherworldly.
I'm not saying do something you don't believe in. I'm saying let's have a conscience about this. I'm saying if you are a gun owner and you're tired of these mass shootings and you're tired of this haphazard legislative response to it that may someday endanger your own rights to own a gun,
yeah.
go to your local gun shop and say stop selling these things. Because there are three ways. There are three ways to deal with a bad product like this. Number one, you can let the government ban it, and who knows what else the government is going to ban along the way. Number two, you can make it impossible for the people who make it to sell it, which is what I'm asking you to do. Or number three, you can get rid of the demand for it. Well, there's always going to be some unhappy middle-class white kid who wants to kill, who is going to want that weapon. And if he's got a place to go buy it, he's going to get one. This can be fixed. This can be fixed through direct consumer action. You walk into the gun shop, you say, no more high-capacity magazines. Stop selling those. And if the gun shop owner says, sorry, I'm going to do it, I'm taking my business elsewhere.
Well, and I
go get your ammo at Cabela's. Go get your gun cleaning kits at Cabela's. Because Cabela's won't stock these. Walmart won't stock these.
Yeah.
Nobody reasonable will stock this magazine. This should not exist.
The thing is, though, Derek, and I know, again, I'm not saying that we should completely illegalize all guns.
No.
I'm not saying that. But if you take away one thing, people are just going to find another way to do it.
Well, okay, now...
Like, think about how many mass shooters have had part of their... what's the word I'm looking for? Part of their, not ammo, but not repertoire. I'm glad I don't know the term for this, but all the guns they stock on themselves. Part of their bleh.
Arsenal.
Arsenal. Thank you. That's the word. But think of how many of them, the arsenal has included a couple of just, you know, handguns.
Sure.
And that's, I mean, we're definitely not legalizing those. Our law enforcement officers carry them around.
Now, I started this out by saying this is not a gun problem. And you contradicted me.
Yes, I did.
Well, you just contradicted yourself.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
No.
Because
I said that we need to, I said that it's not a gun, it's not a we have to illegalize all guns problem. It's a we have to make who and how they are available different.
You are 100% correct in what you just said.
Yes.
If you take the machine guns away, they'll get handguns.
Yes.
Okay. What happens if you take the handguns away?
Then, I don't know, they'll develop really long knives.
They will use swords. They will use bombs. They will rent vehicles and drive them into crowds of people. They will throw acid around. All things considered, I'd rather take my chances against a gun than a bomb.
But
or acid.
Okay, here's the thing, though.
I'll take the sword over the gun.
Here's where I'm going to disagree with you. Do you know why? If I'm going to throw acid in your face, if I'm going to stab you with a sword, if I'm going to stab you with a knife, if I'm going to plant a bomb next to you in some fashion, guess what I have to do? Get right next to you. Don't got to do that with a gun. You can be 100 yards. Think about, you brought up Charles Whitman earlier. He was on top of a tower and he killed people blocks away. Blocks away. He killed people blocks away.
He was a Marine sharpshooter, first of all.
Okay, well, guess what?
He was a trained Marine sharpshooter.
Guess what? There are tons of those who get out of the military, can't get a job, get pissed, and say, you know what? I'm really frustrated with life, but I also want to make a point of some sort. Before I kill myself, I'm going to go kill a bunch of people. And guess what? If they're trained that well, they're going to do just as well with a handgun. It might not be able to go as far, and it might not be as powerful, but they're going to do just as well with a handgun. They're going to definitely still do a significant amount of damage.
Charles Whitman, Stephen Paddock, Las Vegas, and the Washington, D.C. snipers are pretty much the only mass shooters that fired from an elevated position.
And
mass shooters, Shay, walk into a room and open fire.
Yes, I know.
That's what they do.
But they're not, that's the thing is,
they may have a gun. They don't care. They're getting up close and personal with people, sticking a gun in their face and pulling the trigger.
Yes, sometimes they do, but that's because they want, as you said, to get up close and personal. Think about...
So why wouldn't I use a sword?
Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, he was shooting through the windows of classrooms. You don't have to get up close to somebody to do that. He was shooting through the windows of classrooms. He killed people that way. He wasn't even in the same room as them.
That guy could have just as easily filled a van with explosives and driven it up to the front entrance of the school at 2:30 when everybody's walking out and detonated it.
Okay, that is fair. But just as nonetheless, easily. He still has to get right next to it.
What's going to stop him?
That's, I don't know, the bomb going off too early? In that case, I really hope that it would.
Well, you're counting on hope here, and hope is about as good a solution as what the feds are giving us.
I'm not, Derek, saying, okay, bombs is the one thing that proves my previous point divot in it.
Are you aware of what's been happening in London for the last 2 years?
I am aware.
London, so that our listeners know, is dealing with an epidemic of acid attacks and knife attacks carried out by young men.
Okay. Did any of these acid and knife attacks kill 22 people in the blink of an eye?
They have killed and maimed thousands of people.
In the blink of an eye?
Not in the blink of an eye, but if somebody threw acid into a nightclub in London and seriously disfigured 14 people.
Seriously disfigured. Okay. That's horrible. That is truly horrible. It didn't kill them. It didn't.
Well, look, if you want to make the argument that bombs aren't that bad, Johar and Tamerlan didn't kill that many people.
I did not say that bombs aren't that bad. I'm merely saying that guns have the destructive capability that you can't really compare to any other weapon. You really can't.
Yes, you can.
You can, other than maybe a bomb. And that would mean that a person has to be really good at chemistry. They have to figure out how to make a bomb.
I don't think Timothy McVeigh was that smart.
Timothy McVeigh was pretty smart.
No, he really wasn't. When you dig into it, he really wasn't. Nobody who was involved in that thing was that intelligent.
Well, that's what
scared the hell out of the U.S. government.
Okay, well, let's say even if he wasn't really smart, he was incredibly dedicated.
Yes.
He was incredibly dedicated.
How
dedicated do you think that the mass shooters were? Do you know how dedicated they were? I'm mad about something. I have access to a gun. I'm going to go express myself about the thing that I'm mad about. That's how much thought they put into it.
This is the guy at the Gilroy Garlic Festival, all right? Knew there was security, cut his way through a fence to get in and shoot people because he knew he couldn't get his gun past security. So that's how that happens.
Okay, takes like 2 seconds of planning.
These people are determined. Well, it takes more than 2 seconds of planning.
Well, I'm saying comparatively to, say, blowing up a federal building in Oklahoma City.
Yes, but the people who are carrying out these acts are using guns because guns are around and they can get them. You take away the guns, it's going to be something else. Getting rid of guns is not going to solve the problem.
Oh, it's not going to solve the problem, but it's going to make it a hell of a lot better. And again, I didn't say get rid of all guns.
No, it's not.
I never said that, and you're putting words in my mouth.
I'm not putting words in your mouth.
You are.
I never
said let's get rid of all the guns. On the contrary, I said I don't think it makes any sense to try to repeal the Second Amendment.
Believe me, you want to take your chances with a gun more than you want to take your chances with a bomb.
Oh, I agree. And again, I didn't say I gave you that bombs, obviously, in many situations, are just as, if not more sometimes, destructive than guns. I'm merely saying that it's in isolated incidents that is true. If you compare, like, this shooting to this bombing, yes, you're correct. But if you think about how many successful bombings have been carried out that ended up killing the same amount of people as how many successful mass shootings have been carried out that killed this certain amount of people. You can't compare. You just can't.
How many of those shooters would have filled a van full of explosives and set off a bomb if they didn't have access to guns and possibly killed more?
A lot of them would probably be not devoted enough and too stupid to put the time in to actually figure out how to properly make... Oh, here, let's talk about Columbine. They had multiple bombs.
Yeah.
None of them went off.
Well, because they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, but that didn't stop them from being able to shoot a bunch of people. Because guess what? Do you know how easy shooting a gun is? Look, ready? Watch my index finger. I'm going to bend it. Ooh, look, there it is.
Do you know how easy...
Guys, if you can't see, so I'm putting my index finger out, and then I'm turning it inward towards the rest of my fingers, and that is all you need to know how to shoot a gun.
Do you know how easy it is to rent a van and just plow it into a crowd of people and keep on driving? Or get a rental truck? Look at what happened in France a couple of years ago on the Riviera. That guy killed over 100 people with a rental truck.
I reiterate, I'm not saying that there aren't things that have the potential to be as harmful and destructive and murderous as guns. I am saying that if you look at the people who have died over the years, over here, let's put a time frame on it. Since Columbine, the amount of people that have died in domestic terror attacks, any form of terror, no, I'll say domestic because I don't want to lump 9/11 to this because that's completely, that took a lot of planning. You compare, if you made like a graph of the weapons used and the amount of people killed with them, taking into account every single solitary event of domestic terror, bombs and cars and acid and swords are going to be pretty sad looking compared to the guns.
I don't dispute that.
Well, that feels like what you've been spending the last 20 minutes doing.
I don't dispute that that's what's been happening. The point that I'm making... The point that I'm making is, as you said, if you take the gun away from the mass murderer will find something else to use in place of the gun.
Yes, but I said that with tied to it, that whatever they find probably will not be as destructive as a gun. Yes, they could rent a van. Yes, they could go through the very painstaking and intricate and difficult process of figuring out how to build, not just build, but effectively explode a bomb. They could do that.
There's plenty of kids doing that just for kicks out there.
But there's going to be but they're doing it with like bottle rocket sized bombs. They're blowing up tree stumps.
If you can figure out how to blow up a tree stump, if you can make a bomb that'll blow up a tree stump, you can make a bigger bomb than that.
But, yes, you probably can make a bigger bomb than that. But you know what that's going to involve? It's going to involve having to purchase the materials with which to do so.
Good. How you doing, Chris? You
want to
jump in?
Oh, he's going to yell at me, isn't he?
Chris is with us.
Yeah, he's going to yell at me. I knew who it was.
I don't have to. Yeah, I got Chris to do it for me.
I'm going to try to figure out a way to explain this to you is not easy.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. That was incredibly condescending. A way to explain this to me?
Sorry, I didn't mean it that way.
Shay needs some condescending.
I'm a political commentator on the radio, kid. I said, you're explaining stuff to me? You can't explain my opinion.
Don't antagonize our guest.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way at all. I did not. I meant that I'm having trouble figuring out how to express these things, okay?
Okay, thank you. That was more properly worded.
Not you, me. Okay, and sometimes I'm glad you called me on it because I don't want you to think I meant it that way because I promise you I didn't.
Okay.
I mean that I try to figure out how do I explain something and I have trouble figuring it out.
Okay.
It's not easy.
All right, I understand. So, proceed.
Okay, so one of the things that I found disturbing in watching the news, just like, you know, some of the stuff the NRA says about video games is nonsense. But
yes,
there's a lady on the other side who's very similar to someone I know of in Arlington who's on the Arlington list where I used to live. And this lady goes on TV and says that the people who do these shootings are not crazy. That's very disturbing because they are crazy.
Oh, no, I agree.
They're not, though. This was the next point that I was going to bring up. The FBI statistics came out. Only 25% of people suffer from mental illness. They want to kill. That's what they have. That's what all these young men have in common.
Are you saying that that isn't a mental illness?
No, that is not
homicidal behavior.
Let me interrupt. There's a problem with semantics. Crazy people are not mentally ill. It's not a health problem. It's not a medical problem. It is in some cases, for example, schizophrenia can be cured with medication. I've seen it cured.
As have I.
Cured. But that's only one thing. I believe that most of the people who do the mass killings are mostly sociopaths and psychopaths, and they can't be cured, and it's not medical. The reason I know this is not because I'm studying it or I have theories about it or I've heard stories about it. It's because I have three biological relatives who are psychopaths and sociopaths. And I know how they got that way because I was there when it happened. It's caused by child abuse in very early childhood, like in the first few years of life. I saw it happen. I saw how they turned out that way. I saw how they got that way. It was like watching the laboratory of how evil develops.
You know,
and I only know this because I've seen it, and I've seen it in three cases, and I've seen similarities, and I've seen that there are people that I call backwards people, because instead of wanting everyone to be happy and have love and have a happy life, they live to harm people, and they can't exist without harming people. They have to. They're unhappy if they're not hurting people, and they're driven to do it. And what Derek is saying is true, that they use the guns because it makes it easy for them to hurt a lot of people quickly, and we do need reasonable gun laws, but it is true that if we succeed in taking the guns away or reducing them, they will compensate. They will figure out other ways to do it, because they're not doing it because it's easy to get the guns. They're doing it because they want to hurt people, they
yes.
need to hurt people, and they're going to use the easiest way that they can get. And yes, we should make it harder for them.
Yes.
In terms of stopping it, we got to make the public aware that the problem isn't their choice of weapons. The problem is that there are people that are crazy and are driven to hurt people, and we have to look at how they get that way.
Thank you.
One is cultural.
Cultures
teach people to hate women or to hate foreigners or to hate other religions, you get mass insanity because of that, because they're influenced from the time they're very young. If you have a good culture where you have some people who shouldn't be exposed to kids, shouldn't have custody of kids, who are horribly abusive. My father was an evil psychopath who was also an untreated schizophrenic. He abused my mother. He made her become violent. I was the oldest. I was old enough to survive. I was 7 when all this happened. The babies who are 1 and 3 are the two of the worst monsters on the planet. And if they didn't have relatives like me whose lives they've destroyed, they'd be out shooting people too.
Right.
They have to have somebody to hurt. The guy who did the Vegas shooting, his brother said, oh, we haven't had any contact with him for 20 years. There's a reason for that. And he didn't have any relatives to hurt because they don't have anything to do with him. So these are people who have a need to hurt people. The only way to stop it is, one, to see if you can spot them, and then you've got to watch them closely, because we can't put them in jail until after they do something, and by then they've already killed people.
Chris,
if we can prevent them from getting that way in the first place by figuring out how can we stop the wrong people from having kids and abusing them, how can we do something about cultures that create hatred? Unless you get to the source of the problem, it won't be solved.
You are
always going to find a way to do it.
You are dead on in pretty much everything that you just said. You're 100% correct in all this. I thank you for your call. I want to keep this moving. But thank you for calling in tonight, Chris, because you just summarized a lot of where I am going with this. And
I actually agreed with you a lot more than I thought I was going to, so I apologize.
So thank you for your call.
I agree with things both of you have said. But like I said, it's a very complicated issue, and people are missing
it. Oh, absolutely.
All this battles of calling it mental health, it's not health. Crazy people, except for schizophrenics, they can't be cured. It's not caused by brain chemicals. It's not caused by genetics. And one example is that, you know, the guy that comes back who's a trained sharpshooter, yeah, he's going to be very dangerous, and maybe he can't get a job, but that's not what he's doing. He already had problems. There's things where people have the problems from the early childhood, but later it's triggered because when you put stress on them, they're not going to react well. Those of us who are nice people, you can screw us over repeatedly, we're not going to go out and kill. I know. I've been screwed over really bad, and
you're
just get more compassionate, more empathetic. You know, it has to do with who we are inside. People who are good are not going to turn into, you know, raving maniacs. But people who are abused when they're small children, it becomes part of their permanent personality, and it won't go away. One of the journalists years ago did an investigative report about, at the time, all the shootings and stuff, and he found something that the others didn't find. That all the people who did it were all on psychiatric medication.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't so much mean that they had psychiatric problems, although they did, but it means that these medications do not cure them. It's just that the drug companies want you to think it does, and the insurance companies don't want to pay for expensive therapy, which may or may not work, so they say, oh, just put them on these drugs. And the drugs actually are kind of like building water up behind a dam. It may it's sort of like a chemical straitjacket. It suppresses things, but then it builds up and builds up and builds up. And it actually, many of the drugs increase the likelihood that they're going to be violent, that instead of doing a bunch of little things or acting out and getting caught, they're going to just go berserk and shoot up a bunch of people. So many of those drugs are part of the problem because they don't cure stuff. They make stuff worse.
All right, Chris, thank you for your call. We're going to keep going.
You're welcome.
Keep listening.
Yeah,
we'll
thanks,
talk
Chris.
Again
we always
soon.
Love when you call. You we have, like, that's what I love about Chris is that he, like, and we get fewer callers on this, but the radio show that Derek and I used to work for where we had like 10 phone lines, there were so many people that would call in and just talk out of the word I don't think I can say in
that station doesn't exist anymore, so we can say idiots listen to that radio station. If you listen
to us
there,
it was WTKK. It was Boston Talks and then News Talk, or did it go in the other direction?
It's WMFO Medford here. If you listened over there and you still listen here, you're not one of the idiots.
You're definitely not. But that's the thing is, Chris, like, that's what it's so refreshing, like, after dealing with that, to have someone like, oh my God, this dude actually knows what he's talking about.
Here's another.
What a novel concept.
Chris brought up something important at the end, and this is true. A majority of the young men who have been involved in these acts of violence are on psychiatric medication, and there are people who have tried to make the connection between the psychiatric medication and these acts of violence, and the pharmaceutical companies obviously spend a tremendous amount of money to make sure that connection is never found. But let me give you something else to consider. The fact that all of these, not every shooter, but all of the shooters who were on psychiatric medication, the fact that all of those shooters were on psychiatric medication means that they were in the mental health system.
Well, that's,
you don't just get a prescription. You don't just walk in your doctor and be like, hey, medicate my kid. There is a process there.
Yes.
Which means there are red flags, and it means that the parents have chosen this avenue as a means of dealing with their child.
Well, I think herein lies, and Chris kind of touched upon this, and I half, Chris, if you're still listening, you probably are, I half agreed with you in what you said about mental illness, but I also, that's kind of the problem, is that it's a very difficult thing to properly define, because there are so many facets to, and this is speaking as somebody with a mental illness, there are so many facets to, like, you know, people with mental illnesses get called crazy. I don't consider myself crazy. I have a mental illness. There are people who are considered crazy that have not been diagnosed with mental illness. Maybe, looking at one. And, you know, some should, some should not. There are also people who do not have a mental illness that get medication. I know this for a fact because I have several friends that do. It's 2019. People know how to play the system to get a couple Xandy bars. Like, or to get some Adderall, or to get, even if they do just feel being in an SSRI, which I don't understand.
But they're taking
that to
get high, and they're taking that to get through the day. That's different from a kid who has been talking to shrinks and in and out of, and dealing with doctors since he was, 7, 8, 9 years old, and is now 23 and is still taking these pills?
But it's a matter of, this is what I'm saying in what I disagree with Chris, is that sociopathy and psychopathy, like, they are mental illnesses. They can be something that you develop and wouldn't necessarily have come about were it not for a bad childhood, were it not for some sort of sexual, physical, mental, what have you, abuse.
I'm going to infuriate both you and Chris right now, and I am going to tell you
855-915-WMFO. Yeah. Not that you don't have a stage,
I'm going to infuriate both of you right now, I think, because I'm going to say that even though sociopathy and psychopathy are defined as mental illnesses, I'm not entirely certain that they are, and I'm not the only person who feels that way.
But, Derek, that's my entire point, is that it's a very difficult, mental illness is a very difficult thing to concretely define.
There is one massive difference between the era that we are living in now and every previous generation. And do you know what that difference is, Shea Spillane?
We carry our phones around with us.
Well, yes, that's but one thing from history that has not really touched us.
What's that?
War. We are fighting wars. We have small numbers of young Americans that get sent off to a foreign battlefield, but we have not had an all-encompassing war since Vietnam. We have not had a draft. We have not sent our young men, and other nations have not sent their young men in their thousands to go off and experience the horrors of the battlefield. And we are the first generation.
What about Iraq?
There is, again, small numbers.
I still had a friend who got shrapnel caught in his leg.
We all know somebody. Everybody knows, and I'm not dismissing the experience of our veterans. What I'm saying is, when you put Iraq or you put Afghanistan or these other conflicts that we've been involved in, Syria, we have people over there, alongside Vietnam, where we sent hundreds of thousands of young men, or World War II, where we sent an entire generation of young men off to war, there is a difference. And if you are a sociopath or if you are a psychopath, the military experience is a good experience because you
have an outlet
mentally, have the ability to kill. And that environment encourages that. Human history up to the mid-20th century is a history of grand armies facing one another across battlefields in bloody personal combat, where the person who can kill without thought and the person who can kill without remorse because, well, they tell me that's the enemy, but I just want to kill him anyway, is the most valuable person on the battlefield. We used to have an outlet for those people. We don't have that outlet anymore. Now, instead of giving them a military career and the opportunity to go die on a battlefield, we give them video games and we give them movies. And I'm not saying that those video games and movies are the causes. There is a difference. I'm saying that we have people among us who were born to be murderers. And it's not necessarily mental illness. They're not necessarily going to be murderers. They simply have a mental capacity that other people lack to kill.
But, okay.
And that is an evolutionary advantage in some humans.
But how, by that then, we were talking about Charles Whitman. How do you explain Charles Whitman? He served. He had all this time to let out his whole, I'm a kill people-ness.
Charles Whitman had a brain tumor. Charles Whitman did not want to kill people. Charles Whitman had a brain tumor that forced him to kill people. Son of Sam had mental illness that forced him to kill people. But in both of those cases, and those are two interesting cases to look at, in both of those cases, there is an empathic consciousness underneath that recognizes what is happening here is wrong, that is trying to stop it. That's not a sociopath.
But okay.
Sociopath kills and says, yep, there's more people dead.
But okay,
did my job.
But that's, again, I go back to, I don't think that you can say that a person who has homicidal tendencies, who has the desire to kill, and not just kill one person, but kill a lot of people all at once, does not have a mental disorder, does not have, or at least is not mentally ill. Maybe they don't have something that you can toss a label on it, but
if we can't label it, we can't do anything with it, right?
That's not necessarily. I mean
our mental health system is based on labeling things and then prescribing treatments.
Not necessarily. There's tons of people that just get labeled as depressed. And guess what? I know a lot of depressed people. They're all different. They all have different. This is how they express that they're depressed. This is how they express that they're depressed. This is how, and it's not even that they're depressed. This is how they express that they are whatever they are. And like, that's the thing, is we don't, that's why I said mental illness is a very tricky subject, because, I mean, for years, I was just defined as depressed. For years. I started taking medication when I was 13 years old. I didn't get diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder until I was 20. And that was when I was going to therapy every week for 7 years, going to see psychiatrist after psychiatrist after psychiatrist to try to figure out what the hell was wrong with me. And a lot of depressed people, I hate to tell you, your doctor told you depressed, there might be a more specific label for you. And I think that this is true in this as well. Whereas, yeah, maybe we shouldn't be calling them sociopaths. Maybe sociopath or psychopath is not the proper label for these people. That does not mean that they do not have a mental disorder. It just means that we haven't found a way to define it yet. And you have to think about mental illness is a relatively, comparatively, thinking about how long human beings have been around, it's a relatively new subject.
Not disagreeing with anything that you're saying here.
Like, people used to, I mean, men used to send their wives to get electroshock therapy because they were attracted to women, and that meant they were mentally ill. That's what mental illness was.
Yeah.
Like, and that was in the 50s. That, I'm not even saying in, like, 1910. The 50s were not that long ago. My parents were born in the 50s. And that's, there's something to be said for the fact that, I mean, it's such, that's why I want to study psychology, is it's, first of all, such an interesting subject. Second of all, there's still a butt ton to be discovered about it. And I think that a lot of the answers lie there, in that you're right. A lot of these people can't be defined as psychopaths or sociopaths. But that's because the thing we can use to define them hasn't been figured out yet.
Well, in a lot of these cases, they live totally normal lives up until the moment when they kill.
Yeah.
And in some of these cases...
And that's not normal.
Stephen Paddock in particular. We still don't know why he did what he did. We will never know why he did what he did. Planned 4 months to do what he did. We don't know why. But because by all outward appearances, he's a normal person, you're not going to catch him. And we have to be careful... We have to be careful when we say this is about guns, because gun is just a tool.
I think it's about a couple of things that tie together.
We have to be careful when we say this is about mental illness, because that automatically puts a picture in people's minds. And when you get people focused, this is what Washington does, by the way, and this is what the media does, and this is why we're not moving forward on this. The media talks about guns and mental illness and guns and mental illness and guns and mental illness. And Americans get these pictures in their mind of a crazed young person who should have been institutionalized a decade ago, foaming at the mouth, waving firearms around in a nightclub and killing everybody. That is not what we're up against. I'm going to tell you what we're up against right now. I'm going to give you a brief history lesson. Anders Breivik, in 2011, at the age of 32, blew up a government building with a van bomb, then murdered 69 young Norwegians on Utaya Island. Breivik was an anti-immigration far-right activist and, curiously, a Freemason. Breivik plagiarized or adapted passages from the manifesto written by Ted Kaczynski in his own manifesto. Brenton Tarrant, 28, killed 51 people in Christchurch, New Zealand in March. Another far-right anti-immigrant extremist, though he self-identifies as a fascist. Tarrant said he was inspired by Breivik and claimed to have made contact with Breivik via Breivik's rumored Knights Templar organization, receiving a blessing for his attack. Patrick Crucius, 21, killed 21 in an El Paso Walmart, deliberately targeting people who appeared to be Latino. Crucius left a manifesto online that claimed he was inspired by the Christchurch shootings carried out by Brenton Tarrant, something that Tarrant predicted in his own manifesto. Like Tarrant, he cited ecological concerns as a foundational element of his attack. His writings suggest a more overt and open racism than Tarrant, who claimed he was not racist, but simply wanted people to stay in their own countries. I said there was a common element among these killings. And there is. These are ferociously intelligent young men. Ted Kaczynski is a genius. We know that. Anders Breivik was a self-made, wealthy man who was able to bankroll all of his gun purchases, all of his bomb-making supplies through businesses that he ran. Brenton Tarrant, if you have read the manifesto, even though he's ripping off things that other people have written, he is not an ignorant man. He is not an illiterate man. Patrick Crucius is probably the weakest mind out of the bunch. But some of the points that he makes in his manifesto are legitimate. These are people who have a very broad view of the world. And the things that they see in the world are things that no one in the media is talking about. They see overpopulation as a problem. They see climate change as a problem. They see immigration as a problem because it contributes to those other
things,
issues. And on the one hand, we have a president who is sitting there talking about invaders and saying the immigrants need to go. And on the other hand, we have the progressives saying the world is going to end in 10 years because we've done too much damage to our climate. You take an intelligent young man with no prospects, possibly medicated, from a broken home, who has nevertheless been raised to believe that he has the power to change the world. And you tell him that the world is going to end in 10 years, and there is nothing that he can do about it, because no one is listening to him, because no one is paying attention to what matters to people, he is going to want to kill. All you need to do is add in that magic element of the ability to kill. That's what they all have in common, is the capacity to kill.
Well, and that's the thing, is that everything that you just mentioned are things that I know too. Are things that I think about too.
If we don't figure out a way to reach these young men and get inside their heads and figure out how to calm them down.
Yeah, like how to chill them the hell out.
We're going to see more of this. And you can pass all the red flag laws you want. You can pass all the gun bans you want. You can pass any kind of laws you want. The blood, I am on the verge of calling this the summer of blood. But, the summer of blood will roll on.
But again, I mean, Derek, you're basically, and I agree with pretty much everything you just said, but you're basically agreeing with me in that it's a matter of that we haven't figured out what we can, how we can help. Like, we haven't figured out yet what we can do to stop them before it's too late, and to chill them out, to have a medication that works for them, to have a type of therapy that works for them, to have something that we can do to have it be like, you know what? This is not the answer. Going to a bar that your sister is at and killing a bunch of people is not the answer. Walking into a Walmart and killing a bunch of people is not the answer. Killing your classmates to bully you is not the answer. It's a matter of finding a way to, like I said, I mentioned that I have OCD. I went through a thing called exposure or aversion therapy that goes by a couple different names. That didn't exist 30 years ago. Like, that's something that somebody figured out was going to help somebody with my specific mental disorder. And that's, you're absolutely correct. But we have to, it's a matter of people continuing to try to work to figure out exactly what this is and figure out exactly what to do about
it. We don't have time for that. We have to figure out who these young people are.
What do you want them to, like, wear name tags?
No,
like,
I don't want them to wear name tags. We have to figure out who these young people are, and we have to figure out how to reach them. Yeah. And we are not going to do that with gun bans, and we are not going to do that with red flag laws that take the guns away from them, and we're not going to do that with anything. If Washington wants to help, here's my suggestion. Pass a piece of legislation providing bulletproof vests and helmets for every man, woman, and child in the United States so that we at least have a fighting chance. Then at least you will be doing something helpful, because nothing that Washington is doing right now is helpful at all, because you are trying to treat symptoms without looking at the underlying cause. And the underlying cause is a generation of very intelligent, very capable, very focused young white men who are so disillusioned by the rhetoric from both sides and by the failure of anyone to make any forward progress on anything in this world that they want to go out in a blaze of glory and take as many people as they possibly can with them. That's what we're dealing with here. That's Kaczynski, that's Breivik, that's Tarrant, that's Crucius. That is just the beginning. Yeah. More are coming. I will not be surprised at all if there is more bloodshed this weekend. I will not be surprised at all if there is more bloodshed tomorrow. It's coming. Wherever you go, keep an eye out. Because I don't know how many of these young men we have in this country. I'm going to estimate we probably have a couple thousand who have the intelligence and the means and the commitment and the necessary mental wiring to carry out attacks like this. And if they are allowed to do so, the carnage that they unleash on this country will dwarf 9/11. Mm. This is what we're up against. And Washington is talking about guns. Please stop. Please stop. Please tell your legislature, please, that you want them to deal with the underlying problem. How do we reach these young men? How do we make them feel like they have purpose, like they are being heard, like we are doing something about the problems that terrify them? Because underneath it all, if they want to die, they believe the world is going to end in 10 years. And there are a lot of people who are saying that right now. Congratulations. You are as guilty as President Trump of creating this problem. And I brought this up on this show a lot. Elizabeth Warren wants to forgive everybody's student loans. Why? If the world's going to end in 10 years, just don't pay them. The world's going to end in 10 years. Let's all go out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. And it's irresponsible to say it. And the people who are using that kind of rhetoric need to be thrown out. And it's going to take all of the people in this country who have been sitting by quietly doing nothing, actually getting up and going to the voting booth and saying, I've had enough of this. Mm. I've had enough of this. I've had enough of these shootings personally. And it gives me no comfort to sit here and say, this is just the start. Believe me when I tell you, this is just the start. There will be more.
Oh, absolutely. Think about, I always talk about how when, I always trace it back to, and of course there were some mass shootings before that, but the first one that really got, stuck in every American's brain was Columbine.
Yeah.
And I remember when Columbine happened, and I was sitting in French class, and actually, and the teacher had a TV in there and had it on. I was like, this is in English. Why are we watching this? I remember when it happened, I was like, this is insane. Nothing like this is ever going to happen again. Like, this is so weird and so bonkers. And so, like, there's no possible way something like this could ever happen again. And then each year, it becomes more and more and more and more closer and closer together and closer together and more victims and more places and more supposed reasons, more complex supposed reasons. It is. I mean, if you look at the trajectory of the past 20, 30 years, because when would Columbine have been?
1999.
I was gonna say 1999. Yeah. If you look at the trajectory of the last 20 years, it's terrifying. If things keep going as they do, it's just going to keep going up. We're going to start hearing about a mass shooting every day.
We're going to solve this problem by listening. We're going to solve this problem by listening to these disaffected young people, not by banning guns, not by handing out more medication, not by furious political rhetoric and blaming the other party. We are going to solve it by listening and only by listening. This is WMFO Medford.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You're listening to The Big Picture, Shay Spillane. With me, as always, Derek Gary behind the microphones. We're wrapping things up, but before we go, we would like to tell you our favorite things that are coming up in the coming weeks, and the weirdest things that have happened in the past week. For me, for all of you sober people out there, there's this really cool charity event on August 22nd. It's called Recovery Rocks, and it's an evening of music and celebration. It's to benefit Cell Sure Peer Recovery, which is a really great Recovery Group. It's going to have a ton of great food trucks, non-alcoholic beverages, and Danny D. Lynch Band and Border Road. And it's right in Scituate Harbor, so it's overlooking the harbor. It's going to be a beautiful, super, super fun night, and it all goes for a really, really good cause. You can either buy a ticket, which is $50, and then they also have sponsorships that cost a little bit more but end up getting you some cool stuff. So if you guys want to look into this, you can go to SouthShorePeerRecovery.com. And then look up, if you look at their programs and events page, you will see Recovery Rocks.
You know it, you love it, you can't get enough of it. It is the musical that just will not go away. Boston favorite Jersey Boys, running now until September 1st at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater. I'm going to see it on Saturday night, and I've already heard amazing things about this show.
Oh, cool.
This is a special four-week run because everybody loves this freaking show. If you haven't been to see a show at the North Shore Music Theater, I cannot tell you strongly enough, go. Their shows are amazing. You get Broadway talent coming to the North Shore and performing in these shows. It's going to be amazing. I already know it's going to be amazing. I've heard all kinds of reports about the singing. Apparently, they're doing things in the show that they've never done in the theater before.
Oh, I love when they say that, and you're like,
and that's
what's it
always
be?
Fun. The last time that happened was with Oklahoma when they had a live horse come in for Curly's opening song, Oh What a Beautiful Day, and he rode on horseback down into the theater. So, Jersey Boys, NSMT.org, go get yourself some tickets. Have yourself a good time.
WMFM Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at The Big Picture, but before we go, we're going to tell you the weirdest news story we could find from the last week. This one, for me, hits really close to home, or rather to a recent vacation I took out in the Dakotas and Montana. A Nebraska woman has been fined $1,000 for climbing the Mount Rushmore National Monument in South Dakota. Authorities say Alexandria Encontro scaled the massive granite sculpture on Friday. Listen to this. With bare feet and no rope, making it to about 15 feet, which is like 4.5 meters from the top. The Rapid City Journal, Rapid City's where the memorial is, says Encontro chose a route between George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, whose faces are about 60 feet or 18 meters tall. There are several signs, and I can attest to this, at the popular tourist destination that warn against trespassing or climbing, which was complete. The sculpture, which was completed in 1941. A federal officer and national park ranger convinced Encontro to come down, and she was handcuffed and arrested. She appeared in court in Rapid City on Monday, and she pleaded guilty to climbing the monument in order to get the other three charges against her dropped. I'm sorry, but badass.
But you don't want to break off Jefferson's nose. Then America's mad at you.
This woman has to be a fan of the movie North by Northwest. No one does that without being a fan of the movie North by Northwest.
Don't break the monument.
Because all I thought the whole time I sat there was like, I want to sit on top of their heads.
Kentucky. Just a week later.
It's the Florida of the South.
Another contender for Mother of the Year.
Middle South, I guess Florida's technically in the South.
Police in Winchester were called about an intoxicated couple attempting to drive a car. When they arrived, they found Catherine Ollers, 29 and old enough to know better, 28 and old enough to know better, her boyfriend and her 17-month-old son in a car seat that was not properly secured. Ollers and boyfriend were clearly under the influence, so police arrested them, handcuffing Ollers behind her back. While in the police car, she managed to retrieve a baggie containing a white powder from her vagina, dump its contents on the seat, snort it, and then conceal the baggie again. Told she would face additional charges, Ollers again retrieved the baggie from between her legs while handcuffed in the back of a police cruiser.
That is devotion to your addiction.
Skills like that should make you a good mom, but getting high and leaving the kid unsecured in the car seat does not make you a good mom.
Agreed.
Lesson learned. That is all the time we have for this week. As I mentioned, go check out the thing. Go check out Jersey Boys.
Go check out the thing with the stuff and the junk.
By the way, if you can get tickets for it, I will tell you to go see Dear Evan Hansen while it's in Boston. Pretty good production. So, highly recommended as well. You got anything to plug? We got 10 seconds.
No, I love you.
There we go. All in Town with Mikey D is coming your way in just a moment. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Get out, enjoy the beautiful weather that we're going to have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Should be a very nice, pleasant weekend for a change.
Yeah, if anyone's going to Hummerock Beach, look out for the Amazon with a map of Ireland on her face.
No sweating like a pig for me for a change. So until next time, Chase Blaine.
I love you all.
Derek Gary, stay safe, everybody.